Are you there? This is Dr. Brass.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Good morning. This is Dr. Brass. Yes.
Good morning to the panel and the moderator.
Good morning.
I want to find out what is the policy of the parties, not the DLP party, because they say that they were going to give people a house spots and that kind of thing, a piece of the rock and that kind of thing. And now I noticed that a lot of visitors come in and having 5 and 6 house spots, especially here in Mount Stanford. So I would like to know from the panels, what is the your policy about that?
Policy about house spots?
Yeah.
Okay.
House spots for non-visitors coming getting 3 and 4 house spots.
Okay, so your question is, just let's be clear. You want to know what's the policy of the respective parties on the acquisition of house spot
on the land
for non-nationals.
Words, non-nationals. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks so much for your question. Just quickly, what's the policy? If you have one, if you don't have one.
Well, the Barbados Labour Party's policy on the allocation of land has to do with the allocation of land for Barbadians. That is, I believe, very critical, and one should recognize that we are here to ensure that every Barbadian has the opportunity to be able to own land. And that has been the focus of the Barbados Labour Party over the years, starting with the Freehold Tenantries Purchases Act, which was a revolutionary piece of legislation that was supported by a commitment to ensure that not only land, but housing solutions were available to all Barbadians. And we intend to continue with that policy. Certainly the urban corridors in Barbados, the tenantries along the urban corridors now have to be properly allocated and made available. There are about 3,000 or so tenantries lots in Barbados that are there for the average Barbadian to be able to access, with government facilitating the process. And that certainly will free up a lot of the land and to be allocated to certainly low-income earners. And this is the disparity between the urban and the rural part of Barbados, where a similar situation has not yet been fully realized for urban dwellers. And this is retarding the development of the urban corridor, because there are a lot of people who are living on land for decades in some cases. There are people in Dunloyan who have been living on land there for generations, 65 and 70 years, but they are unable really to develop the land or to purchase the land because, first of all, they have to find the owners. Some of the owners live overseas. Some of the owners don't want to sell the land. And so these people are unable to develop and improve their homes because it's a transitory situation. They don't own the land. And we are seeking to ensure that as many Barbadians who have been living on land for long periods of time get to the situation where they can actually purchase the land so that they can develop their homes. And this will create an improvement in conditions along the entire urban corridor in Barbados.
Well, that is a good and plausible response. The caller was very specific to address persons who are non-Barbadians, and particularly those who own more than one home who are non-Barbadians, based on what he's observing in his constituency.
Well, sir, Paul Fort here, United Progressive Party. What you are asking is, in my opinion, what amounts to the most rationing of land. And for the most one part is that in some of these areas where you see non-nationals owning more than one property in a specific type of area, it's kind of because the land was privately owned and privately owned, sell to whoever they want to sell to. The idea is to make the money. That is something we will look into. We can't tell we have a policy to directly affect that or interact or counteract that issue. But what we can tell you is this here, in terms of government land, Barbadians first have that choice. In terms of allocation of land, the investment of land to Barbadians, that's a paramount with the United Progressive Party. In terms of privately owned land, we can't tell a person how to sell their land. But what we can do is to look into it and see how we can best work with these private individuals and how we can get one land sales go more to Barbadians at a reasonable cost, because this is one of the issues too, the cost factor per square foot. They're starting to push Barbadians out of the bracket for buying. So these are things we have to sit down and look at. We can't just say we create a policy on this, because it's saying to you, like within your household, you can't sell your furniture to whoever you assume to sell it to. And so we need to really look at that in a different light, sir.
That's Paul Fort from the United Progressive Party.
Fallon Best Solutions, Barbados. We live in a capitalist economy. That's a fact. Recently, a friend of mine who lives in England, he's a Bajan. His family, his father left him his house and he owns the property next door. And he said, Fallon, I want to sell that piece of land. If you find a buyer, call me. He lives in England. He's a Bajan, but he lives in England. His family left him the land. Someone looks at the land and said, they'd offer him $70,000. I said, the guy can't take that for it. The guy says, I'm not selling my land for $70,000. I want $100,000+ for that land. That's his land. And the land sits right there. So bush grows on the land, and that's the market. He owns the land. It was left to him by his family. And we cannot, the government can't go and take up the land and do anything with it. And we have many plots like that in Barbados. They're owned by people. We also have we are a small open economy. We actually live by tourism. That's where majority of foreign exchange comes from. That pays for the fuel. We have to buy that, import that fuel and import many products and foods. And sometimes we have international visitors, which we spent a lot of money to market to get the 1 million tourists that we see here. We spent a lot of money to get them here. And sometimes they decide they're going to buy a property here. When they're going to buy a property here, every quarter, every year, they send money, foreign exchange, and they pay a property tax. That's like an oil well. We have hundreds and thousands of people who send money into Barbados to pay a property tax, and that helps to pay the bills of this nation. When you see people driving in the vehicles are imported. When you go to the supermarket, some of those things are imported. We hope we should more buy some local produce. I like to buy local produce, but we've changed our taste. And with development, with an open economy, we have to be open to the fact that our neighbor could be somebody from Canada, Germany, England. But we have to open the fact that there are Barbadians who also live overseas. And we wouldn't want to be, if we were living in Canada or England, to be prejudiced from buying a property in England. Many Bajans own property in Canada, in the US, and we go and visit our relatives overseas, and they own property there. And what we want is more Barbadians want a mixed use, not just to own property, but those who can't afford to own property want to be able to rent property at an affordable rate. And a term we want to use, and we want the entire Barbados and the government departments to really get accustomed to using, is affordable, not low income. We don't want to stigmatize those houses. We want to say affordable housing and affordable lands and affordable development.
Interesting. Also some good responses. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning. Listen to your phone line.
Yeah, I'm now hearing you. Okay, good morning great. To you and your panel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Right. Morning.
Now, I want to establish some questions for the two parties, UPP and the Solutions Party. But I want to first establish we saw the first Housing Act in 1951 under the Barbados Labour Party. We have a period of housing that was carried out between the Democratic Labour Party between 1961 and 1976. We all know for a fact that the housing program of the Barbados Labour Party had been extensive and has been rated among the best in the, I would probably say the best in the world. I want to ask the UPP and Solutions Barbados, should fate have it that your party win the government, what would be your immediate plan to relieve the crisis that existed as far as housing is concerned? What would be your plan? Give me a little insight so that the people of Barbados will know that you've got a housing plan. I've heard several things coming from you, but I've not heard your impact in terms of creating a hit in terms of housing. We saw what was done between the period I just mentioned, and we saw what was done between the other period. The Barbados Labour Party, as you know, has provided what we consider to be the first high-rise housing in any housing program in Barbados. You're talking about housing in the city. You want to sanction housing in the city. What would be your proposal to remove the areas as far as Cat's Castle, to remove the areas as far as Greenfield?
Caller. You're asking some questions, but you're also interspersing it with some comments.
Well, what I'm trying to explain, that the areas for development and housing in the city, I'm giving these people some insight. The areas for development of housing in the city, Ms. Gale, is Greenfield, Cat's Castle, right? And the Earlies, I am asking them what would be the immediate plans. I did went into the fact that the Barbados Labour Party introduced high-rise housing. So if you listen to the line that I'm taking, I'm giving them a way to answer the question.
No, but I'm sure they can answer you very clearly. I want you to be specific with your question, because you said you want to hear policies, but they did share one or two comments more along the line of policies. When we started, were you able to benefit from the beginning of the program?
Listen carefully. This is the problem. I like interjections, but I like people to understand where I'm coming from. I came to you with a strength back from 1951. I established the Democratic Labour Party's record between 61 and 76. I established the record between the two parties. I am asking these two parties now. And I've just said to them that there was a program of housing at Exmouth that never came off. There was a program of housing that was supposed to go to Rosemont that never came. All I'm asking the gentleman to give me an answer and I will continue.
Okay, well, right, so sir, give us a chance. Give us a
you're
chance.
You're clear on the question.
Yeah, I'm going to reply. This is Fall Investment Solutions, Barbados. The housing is dictated by economics. The velocity at which the government has been able to supply the housing has been affected by politics. We have not had a contractors general's office, and we are committed to, it's been talked about, and Solutions Barbados is committed to immediately putting it in place, because just about 80%+ of government projects have gone over budget and over time, and this affects the velocity. If I give you money to steward, if I give you $1 million and tell you build 100 homes and turn them over and turn them over to the people at a cost price, and at the end of 2-3 years, you haven't built the 100 homes, and then 5 years later, you finally get it done. If I give it to another administration, and at the end of the year, they build 100 homes, they deliver them at cost price, and then they build another 100, they make back the money, deliver it again. That's velocity. Other countries had that velocity. The velocity in the Caribbean, the velocity in Barbados has been slowed down by cognitive bias. And I said that cognitive bias includes the political mismanagement. We have great staff at the NHC. We have a great market here with skills. The West Coast, the private sector gets it done. You bring the money and they get it done on the West Coast, or they build homes. But when the government has gotten money, the velocity at which they've built homes have been slowed down. Yes, in a slow economy, the NHC will tend to withhold the building of homes because they will say some people cannot afford to rent, they can't afford to buy the homes. So, but there's an opportunity to stimulate the economy as well. There's another school of thought by creating construction jobs. But the problem is in the management of it. And that's why we need a contractor general to make sure these projects do not go over budget and over cost. I know what $20 million in construction looked like. I know what $100 million in construction looked like. And when you see a project and you see this, that looks, this should have achieved more economies of scale. It should be more efficient. It shouldn't have cost that much. But this is what has happened. Now, when we speak to Greenfield and we speak to the city, we're not talking about pushing people out. We're talking about developing the area, but it's not going to happen overnight. But we have to create the right market. We have to create the right rational expectations in the investment community, and that's dictated by people's confidence in the administration. And we as Solutions Barbados are committed to establishing not just a renewed confidence, but there are great policies. I've read the BLP's manifesto. I won't comment on the current administration because personally, I'm not pleased with how they've done things when it comes to developing the housing in this land. They've been a bit slow. And I agree with the creative. We are also dedicated to the creative economy. But the largest segment of this economy is the built environment. 20% of this economy is the built environment. So developing housing is going to be linked to construction economics and creating the right incentives, not just for government, because government is the one supposed to create incentives. We want to create the right incentives for the private sector. So if you own a piece of land in Greenfield and we tell you that you can get planning permission in 7 weeks to build up to 7 stories, because we said 7 stories. If you go higher, it would take longer. But in 7 weeks, the government will form an urban regeneration authority. We will take the BTI. Solutions Barbados will take the department of the BTI away from tourism authority and form it with ex officio officials from different departments. We have professionals here, so these are not new salaries. We will form an ex officio committee. And that committee would run the urban regeneration authority over the city, and which would do the outline plan permission. And then anybody that lives in the city, in the priority zone, can get plan permission for up to 7 stories. And the reason we say 7 stories is because when it comes to fire escapes, up to 7 stories is a pretty easy escape. So there's other things, the engineering concerns that have to be taken into consideration. But up to 7 stories, you can escape that building. In a reason. Above that, there are technologies as well as more specific engineering that needs to be done. But up to 7 stories, the whole of London has a 7-story covenant.
Thank you. Sir, you need a progressive party here, Paul Fort. The United Progressive Party's campaign has started on a policy of going to the people first and ascertaining what is the best way we can help them help themselves or help them help us help themselves. And this is one of our first policies when it comes to housing. Now, you mentioned Greenfield, you mentioned Catskill, you mentioned a whole list of places. Was a census done within these areas to ascertain, one, the number of sole breadwinners within the area, the household within one particular home, who owns land in the area, the land ownership policies concerning the area? This is something the United Progressive Party will seek to do first. And this is not only within Greenfield and Town area, but across the entire breadth of Barbados. We need to first have a land, home, and household census done to ascertain where we need to start, how we can continue, and what programs need to be put in place to facilitate certain areas within the country. Now, to suggest that the Barbados Labour Party would have done a number of programs that was, according to you, excellent, is okay, fine and dandy. Then you can run, you mentioned Greenfield. Greenfield has been lacking for years. And one of the policies the United Progressive Party have put in place with its Bridgetown Manifesto is to target areas such as Greenfield, New Orleans area in particular, because these have a lot of clusters of homes that needs a lot of, one, upgrades, two, development, and the people themselves need to be empowered. And this is something we look to do, but we have to do this through first, in my opinion, and in UPP's opinion, through a proper census being carried out and ascertain one, the issues within the constituencies, within the areas in Barbados, and more so within the households, in terms of breadwinner, in terms of the dependents in the households, and stuff like that. So I can't say to you that we can just automatically roll a series of housing programs for people. We don't know their needs, we don't know their facilities, and then next thing you know, person are going to the bank and paying through their teeth to get things done. We can't do that. We have to come where the people's at first, understand their policies, their positions, and their work to suit such.
Thank you. I will let Mr. Colonel Bostic reply there. Just one comment here from a WhatsApper that Manhattan is about 30 square miles and has approximately 1.6 million people living in that small space. Just wanted to confirm earlier that you can have a large number of persons living in a small space and it still be an attractive space. Colonel Bostic?
Yes, thank you. I was trying very hard to keep to the topic for today's discussion, which is housing and land ownership in Barbados. Where are we heading? But with so many comments in relation to the city, it would be remiss of me if I did not make some corrections here or at least enlighten my friend from the UPP. All of these surveys and so on that he has mentioned, these things were done several years ago when the Barbados Labour Party was in office through the Inter-American Development Bank program.
Several years ago, people had children since then, household income changes, a lot of persons went home from work. You can't
base things have changed, but there was a program put in place for renewal and the rejuvenation of those communities. But and there was a project and a costed project with funds allocated for it.
It can't be based on years ago. It has to be done based on today's environment. It's a very different environment to several years ago. And what those policies might have been done, what those services might have been done, and they were effective at that time, it's a different dispensation. And we got to focus on what the people are going through at this stage before we can go for bringing programs based on several years ago.
I take his point, Colonel Bostic, to the point that if you are going to be implementing a particular policy, you still have to do your surveys. You still have to ascertain what are the stats at hand. So I understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, but where I disagree there, though, is that certainly you can't just discard that work that has already been done.
And I'm hoping that the survey that he does...
So it's just a matter of improving on that.
Yes.
Correct.
Because he's starting from scratch. I'm saying that a foundation has already been laid.
Right, and a good foundation. And
very good one.
I heard it just on a couple of brass tacks ago. There was this person making reference to some work that was done in Catskill. And I remember sitting on actually chairing a non-governmental organization under the auspices of the IADB. And so much work had gone into, there was supposed to be a housing development. And the biggest challenge was the slowness with which landowners came back and said, yes, you can do the survey or yes, you can make any modifications. And it really was a lost project. Nothing happened. The money went back to the IDB, not only because of not accessing the landlords, but there were persons living on the property who had no relation or bearing to the persons who were the owners, and the project couldn't happen. So one thing we must say, though, we must observe, while we may want to make some modifications in a particular housing area, a housing area, we also have to consider the land, the ownership. Someone mentioned it earlier that the landowners are sometimes overseas and inaccessible, and therefore you cannot modify or do anything at all to that housing stock simply because you don't have permission. And that's something where we can probably talk about policies of the particular parties. What are they doing to be able to get access to the same pieces of land? This is down to brass tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Ms. Gill.
Good morning.
How are you, ma'am?
Well, thanks.
And to your panelists, of course.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Young aspirants, politicians, and MPs. I really found this particular topic very intriguing because it forces all the aspirants to relate more closely to the realities of the situation. Ms. Gill, you just made a very, very valid point that I was thinking of. This matter of developing land, where the land is owned by different people in different places. In our laws, it's very difficult to sometimes to harness all the effort required to put the authority in a single place when the land is owned by 10 or 12 different people. And that has been a big problem in Barbados. But I'll say this. An earlier caller, I think he called specifically in St. James, and one of your panelists there attempted to answer, and he did give a very good answer. The problem with St. James and St. Peter is that a lot of those people with single ownership down there were encouraged to sell those lands along the coast to real estate brokers who took the land from them, sometimes recited them or paid them out, and then that same land is now being redistributed among people who you might say are non-nationals. Now, I don't know if that's the parent country's fault or whose fault it is. But I think really that when we are sitting down making these projections and all these wonderful ideas, we have to do more what we call economic modeling. We have to look at these things from economic analysis, the illustrations, examples and so on to really know where we are going. Let me give you an example of what he means. I have often said that Coverley estate housing is a poor, poor housing project. Single homes. You got 20,000 square feet of land and you put in 4,000 or 5,000 plots on it. I am saying that 20,000 square feet could raise an apartment building to 6 or 7 stories according to the gentleman there. With about 10 apartments on each floor. And instead of housing 4 people, you can house between 60 and 70 families.
Agree.
And that is what I'm saying, is that people are, real estate in Barbados is a profit-making thing. It is not a housing solutions thing. And that is why we are in this position. You cannot continue to build single-unit houses all over the country, a small country with small acreage. All you're doing is putting up your prices. I listen sometimes. And I hear the people are now in price of housing at $16 a square foot, $22. It's just nonsense. It's nothing, Barbados. How can the average person ever hope to acquire a normal living? I think that we must emphasize high-rise housing. It happens in Toronto.
Agreed, sir.
Yes?
Agreed. It happens
there in all the major cities. But I live in Toronto. The number of immigrants that came there during my time, they would not have been able to accommodate. They started building high-rise houses like they were crazy. I was able to get my first apartment at $150 a month, one bedroom, because of the number of real estate builders who started building houses, really the incoming, and they made life easy for a lot of people. We have a lot of young people who are single people who might be just a small family, who don't want no $300 million mortgage. They want a place that they can pay a reasonable rent when the month comes, and maybe sometime before they can buy the property or something like that. I want to hear the Miss Lisa.
Yes, sir.
I got a, pardon me for diverting a little bit here, but you attended the conference yesterday, the economic conference.
Yes.
I heard a part of it, and I continue to say this. I'm not being critical of anybody, but I would like to pass this on to some of the younger people who might not have the experience I have. These conferences where people show up and just make speeches, really, You're just a waste of time. If you're going to get anywhere, we got to be more graphic illustrations of what we want, what we can do, how much it's going to cost, where we're going to get from, and so on.
There's actually a WhatsApper here that says, are the parties willing to remove squatters and place them in housing, allowing them to pay rent? So that's a contemplation for you gentlemen on my left. What is the position, what is the policy position of your respective parties as it relates to squatting in Barbados? A very important element that we oftentimes as politicians. I'm going to leave you to ponder on it before we will come back after the break. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. We have one caller there with us.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. One of the things that I know, whichever government get into power, they're going to have a difficult time dealing with land policy and housing and so forth. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I would like to know, we're talking about development, land development, and I know the government has a land policy, and it's very easy for agricultural land to go idle and then turn into real estate. That's a challenge.
It is very easy?
Very easy.
You mean when you apply for permission for change of use?
It is left idle for a certain amount of years.
Right.
And then the person can sell and so forth.
Yes, that happens.
So what I'm saying is that the government has a problem in balancing taking agricultural land, which you need to feed the people, mm-hmm. and putting it into housing, which does not meet the requirement of the low-income earner. It is for the high-end. Because I remember back then, we used to be selling house spots. I don't know if you remember. When the real estate agent came to the realization that any and anybody could buy a house spot, they start selling quarter acre and a half acre. So therefore, they keep those people that they did not want in. That's a record. Anybody could research that and see. So mm-hmm. what I'm saying is that the government have a challenge. The other thing that I can't understand, if we're talking about developing the city, and this is to Mr. Bostick, the hotel that was to be built is not much higher than the tower in the BLP time. What is his objection, and is there anyone else on the panel that have an objection to that hotel being built, which is to develop the Bridgetown area? So therefore, you'll have high-rise building we talk about high-rise building for low income. Mm-hmm. So you'll have high-rise building for the low income, and you'll have high-rise building for hotels.
So am I clear on your question, whether or not they object to and the hotel? You said the hotel. We are to assume you mean the Hyatt Hotel?
The Hyatt Hotel.
Right.
What is the objection from Mr. Bostick? And does any other people on the panel object? And if they get into power, will they resume the building of the hotel?
Ticklish question. If anyone
because
wants
it's
to respond.
All in the development, and this is in Mr. Bostick area, it's all in the development of Bridgetown. So
I don't think any of the mons on the... I wouldn't speak for you. I know that you're not opposed in any form or fashion to a building of a hotel in Bridgetown. But let's hear the panelists.
Okay.
Let me say, first of all, caller, that the Barbados Labour Party has a comprehensive plan for the transformation of Bridgetown, the transformation of the urban corridor. And that plan includes hotels as well. And if you look into our manifesto, you will see exactly where we plan to go in that direction. In relation to the Hyatt, I have said repeatedly that at the time as the Member of Parliament for the City of Bridgetown, that I had no objections at all to any development, including hotels within the city, that will bring life and energy back into the city, as long as such a development satisfy the requirements of the town planning department and all of the other agencies in terms of the various studies and surveys that had to be fulfilled and satisfied. And that has been my position for the last year and a half or so.
Okay. So you do not object to the hotel being built?
We move on to Fallon to hear.
We have no, Solutions Barbados has no objections to the hotel. We welcome that hotel and 100 more. We welcome those investors and 100 more. We hope it will be a domino effect. And the landowners surrounding that hotel are just waiting to see that hotel because they know the value of the property will go up and will be a catalyst of activity created once that domino has gone up. But our objections is not to what is being done, but how it is being done. And the way that such development must happen, you must have town halls. The Prime Minister should have had the town halls and come and sit down, as well as the Minister over the Housing and Lands and the Minister of Tourism. They should have sit down and outline that they and allow persons that live in the community around the city, from Nelson Street to Combermere Street, put 100,000 of mailers in the city and notify them of a town hall. And they come and sit down and they can raise their objections and the Prime Minister can look them in the eye. But we've had a very, it's not the word secretive, wouldn't be the word, but lack of transparency. And Solutions Barbados is committed to being the most transparent administration this nation has ever seen. You'll be able to file freedom of information request and get information on what is really going on, what are the costs of things, and what and the processes that have happened behind the scenes. You're just hearing that a property is being done, but there's no town hall. There's no public consultation being done. You cannot do that level of development without broad consultation. And if we're going to have 100 more projects like it, you have to have constant public consultation with the local and the general community. And this is our, the process is what we object to, not what is being done. We welcome, we think it should have been, that process should have been completed within 3 months. And that hotel should have had its planning permission already. It should have been completed and it should have gotten the green light. But under a Solutions Barbados, the city will be a priority zone, which means once that planning application is submitted, in 7 weeks, that project would have had its approval. In 7 weeks, town planning, there would have been the town hall, the Prime Minister, and the ministers responsible and technocrats would have sat down and faced the public and the community. They would have been able to raise any objections and learn from the community and professionals around Barbados, and they would have had their input. And then they would have gotten the green light, or they would say, well, we need these adjustments made. But that has not happened, and that is the problem, the way the process has been carried out.
So it's the how. Let's hear from the United Progressive Party.
Sir, my mom always said to me, there are three sides to a story. Your side, my side, and the truth. And the United Progressive Party is not in a position at this time to comprehensively comment on whether the hotel should be built or not. What we know is this, is that before any green light is given under United Progressive Party government, to suggest building here or building there, all Barbadians that will be affected, all Barbadian businesses or businesses in the country that will be affected by the particular development has to be consulted first. And so we do agree with the concept of how it's going to be done.
Yes.
Those persons are going to be immediately and indirectly affected and before we can really make a go-ahead decision on it. So I can't say to you it's a yes or no from us here, because at the end of the day, we believe the people must have a say in the affairs that are going to, one, affect their lives for the rest of their lives.